do it.
Amen.
I'm willing to do it. Don't like it, but I'm willing to. What do you want me to sing, Brother Jesse?
Ship Ahoy.
Oh, what page is that? Ships Ahoy?
Yeah.
I was in a meeting one time. I had my little mouthy nephew with me, John, and I told the girls to stay away from him. He's got HIV. And it was a joke, man. It's funny. And so years later, he got me back at Bible Baptist. I don't know if any over there. So the song says, Ship Ahoy. So he got up and sings, hey, my Uncle Jack, he's so big guy, he sings Ships Ahoy. Man. Yeah. So he got me back. What page is that? What page?
473.
What page is that? 473. Take him to the nursery. Thank you. Good to be here today. We'll be heading out in the morning back to Ohio and back to Bama. 473. And I always love his church. I'll say some other things later before I preach, but I tell you what, you're in a hot spot.
Yeah.
You're in a hot spot. But I'm glad I'm saved and know it. And know it. Show it and glow it. Don't let your salvation get quiet on you. Amen. All right, Brother Jesse, crank it up. I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea, and the anger way threatened my ruins to be. When away at my side, there I dimly descried a stately old vessel, and loudly I cried, Ship ahoy, ship ahoy, and loudly I cried, Ship ahoy. 'Twas the old ship of Zion, thus sailing along. All aboard her seemed joyous, I heard their sweet song. And the captain's kind ear, ever ready to hear, caught my wail of distress as I cried out in fear. Ship ahoy! Ship ahoy! As I cried out in fear. Ship ahoy! The good captain commanded a big boat to be lowered, and with tender compassion he took me on board. I'm happy today, all of my sins washed away in the blood of my Savior, and now I can say, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. From my soul I can say, bless the Lord. Old soul sinking down, neath the merciless wave, the strong of my captain is mighty to save. Then trust him to lay, no longer delay, board that old ship of Zion and shout on your way. Jesus said, shout along the way, Jesus save. Whew. You catch me now, okay? Open your Bible anywhere, it's all good. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the Word of God. And we won't have it one day. Some of you won't miss it anyways, you don't read it. You won't miss it. Amen, that's called a punch. I feel a few of them coming out tonight. And thank you, Pastor. You got a gracious pastor here. He's been a dear friend. And I thank God for him. What I say here, 2 Timothy chapter 4. What would you change tonight knowing if you had a few months to live? What would you? I didn't ask your brother or your mother. I asked you. What would you change tonight? I didn't tell you this, but I have a heart problem. It could stop. But I'm trying to get my life fulfilled. I want to fill everything I can.
Amen.
Everything I can. I want to make sure she's taken care of. Got a house to live in. Nobody takes it from her. But what really hurts me tonight as I'm preaching to you, I got a little great nephew tonight sleeping under a viaduct. And I can't help him. But I helped your kids. But I can't help him. that he won't let me. That bothers me. Sometimes you think I got a one. Oh, Jack, he'll fix anything. No, Brother Jack can't. I give it my best. Someone said, good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. You should always be achieving in the situation you're in. Don't stay status quo. He's got three warrants on him. My sister called me in. She's a member of Joe Arthur's church. She said, Jack, she said, you owe me. I'm talking to you tonight about finishing right. Amen. Amen. Finishing right. Anybody can quit. Yep. Anybody can quit. My sister called me in. She said, Jack, she says, you owe me. I smarted off to her, yeah, what do I owe you? She said, you owe me your life. And I bowed my head. I said, yeah, I know, sis. Her, like Brother Ryman, I asked her one time, said, how many people have you taken in your home to feed and sleep? She said, oh, about over 200. She got me out of jail many times when I was 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and never told my mother. She signed me out. And she says, I'm going to die in a few days. I want you to look after my grandson. I want you to look after my son. Now, see, I understand that. That's right across the plate. Sometimes you tell somebody something, to go one ear, not the other. Now, that registered with me. She had an oxygen mask on. She died. She told me that on Friday. She died Monday. And she said, you owe me. I'm calling in a marker. That's old city talk. I'm calling in a marker. She got saved listening to Hyman Appleman at the Temple Baptist Church in Detroit back in the early 60s. And we're bus kids there. I said, Gladys, I'll do what I can. They said, no, you're not going to do what you can. You're going to make it. She didn't say the word make it happen, but that was to the trip of it. And a few months later, her son that she told me to look after died in a crack fire. She lost three kids in a fire. And so I text that young boy today, and I guess maybe I'm preaching this to me tonight, not you. I said, Keith, I love you. I'm going to come after you. I'm going to call the judges. I'm going to call the probation department. I'm going to bug them to death. I want to get you. I had him years ago as a kid, but he won't listen. That's why that untoward generation over in Acts 1 is talking about the generation who won't listen. We got a generation that won't listen. They'll do anything for attention, but they won't listen. They'll do anything for attention, but the wrong kind of attention. And the girls want to go goofy with their hair. You know what's out there. It ain't going to get better. It's going to get worse. And you better put something on the inside, not on the outside. And so here's the Apostle Paul. I probably have about 40 sermons out of this one certain chapter here. It's one of my favorite chapters. But tonight, I'm going to ask you a question again, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to preach to you for about 20 minutes and let these folks sing. But what would you change tonight knowing if you had a week to live? Or maybe 2 weeks? Or give 30 days? Don't fluff it off. Answer the question. Someone get saved? Pay a bill? Yeah, I think you got a big bill to pay. A debt of gratitude. Amen. Bob Jones Sr. said it this way. When gratitude dies on the heart of a Christian, that Christian is well nigh hopeless. And we've forgotten some of the things that maybe some of God's people have done for you along the journey. You didn't get here by yourself. I know that. I know I didn't. I know I didn't get here. And I got here from spiritually speaking, from an old German that got in my face and told me like I was, and I got saved. And then my older brother John taught me Bible, and I thank God for him. My sister Gail taught me how to act right and be a gentleman and so forth. And but I owe them a debt of gratitude. My brother's 78 years old. They'll think he's Tommy Hearns. He's thinking jam around. Actually, John, you're not Tommy Hearns, okay? You're about 2 inches from going to glory, okay? Come on. Well, I can at least enjoy it. But over here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, there's the great Apostle Paul writing. I put him at writing 14 books of the Bible. And I love that song, Must I Go Home Empty-Handed? I refuse to go home empty-handed. Now, I'm talking to some of you tonight. I'm not going to be bombastic, but I'm going to give you something to think about. I know some of you have made mistakes in here in your Christian life in your early years. I got both of my hands up, okay? But you're going to fail at something, but you don't have to be a failure. You don't have to be a failure. Edison had over 1,000 patents over somebody else's 999 failures. And he took him and developed into his and got credit for it. I know about the Tesla, I know all that stuff, but I'm talking about in general. He took someone else's failures and quit and walked away and developed those ideas. And tonight you're in one of the hottest beds tonight. All the great works you can name yesteryear, they're gone.
Yep.
They're gone.
Yep.
The great Hammond Church, she's great, she's good, but she's not what she used to be.
Right.
The Roloff homes are just about gone. Lee Robinson's work is gone. It's gone. It's gone. John Rawlings Church, it's gone. They're gone. The great Temple Baptist Church in Detroit that ran 5,000 to 7,000, it's gone. And you're here tonight at the Faith Baptist Church in Cornfield, USA. Ah, you walk out, you don't smell shit on number 5, I guarantee you. But God has got this church out in a cornfield doing something for God.
Yeah.
And what happened is maybe the last glimmer of hope for somebody.
Yeah.
For this town. Maybe if God will spark your heart tonight, then maybe for you to do something. To go back home where you're at and do something for God. That's what I'm after tonight.
Yeah.
That's what I'm after tonight. I'm tired of going to churches and all they do is talk about themselves and themselves and themselves and themselves. And talk about what they've done, what they've done, what they've done. You haven't heard jack nothing out of this guy, what he's done here for all these years. It's always about now. It's always about God. It's always getting involved. It's always driving above. It's always cooking a meal. It's always going. It's all about now, 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 now. That's God's time, now time.
Amen.
I'm not interested in yesterday. I'm interested in today.
Right.
And so Paul writes down a great truth over here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I don't want to go this whole thing. I got my preaching Bible here with me. And I had to go get my other Bible. But look over here in verse number 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering in doctrine. Make sure when you preach those negative sermons, you put some long suffering with it.
Yeah.
That means you suffer long. You put up and you put up and you put up and you put up and you put up. Brother Wolf took a guy back in the home 39 times. 39 times. Best mechanic ever seen in my life. Brother Wolf told me, so you leave one more time, God's going to kill you. And the last time he came back home, he fell down in San Antonio, Texas at a train station, broke his neck. He never came back. But that preacher took him back 39. What does it take for your preacher to reach you?
Amen.
Hey, come on now. What does it take for your pastor to reach you, get a hold of you? Look over here again. Look at verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And after their own lust shall they heap in themselves, teachers having itching ears. The downfall of a nation is when you get rid of preachers and go on to teaching. This country wasn't built on teaching. It's built on preaching. That's why she's on there. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fable. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Well, Brother Jack, how do I get through what I'm going through? You just endure it. You put up with it and 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 you get through it. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 5, for I'm now ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. He didn't fight a dirty fight. He fought a good fight. A good fight. A good fight. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I can't run Pastor Alan Ryman's course, but I can run Jack Patterson's course. You got a course to run for Jesus Christ. And he wants you to run that course. You run that course as an evangelist, a missionary, a pastor, a dad, a mom, a son, or a daughter. That's the course that God has got you on. You got to run that course. Nobody can run their course for you. And that's why some of you tonight are empty. Because you put nothing towards on the course. You never put nothing in the ground to grow. You'll starve one day of a Christian life because you have no crop. You have no crops. Then you go get Baptist welfareism. Will you give me something to eat? Why don't you go get some of your own food? Hello? It bothers me to see American on the street corner, I'm homeless, give me some money. Well, go get a job.
Yeah.
Shine shoes, man. Do something. Go get a car wash. I had my guys out in Othello, Washington, said, man, we want to go to the blowout. I said, okay, go to the car wash, make some money. No, we thought you're going to pay for it. No, wrong answer. Yeah. You're going to pay for it. Yeah. You know what they were getting on Saturdays for car wash? $1,000 a Saturday. Yeah. Hello? I pulled out of there, I had $5,000 or $6,000 in my little money bag there, didn't use my credit card one time. All the way back from Washington, all the way to Florida, that's motel, that's food, all paid. And I used to think, thank you, God, for working. I'm enjoying this. I sure like spending your money instead of mine. Yeah. Hello. But it taught those guys some character. Hello. When they went to Bible school, make sure they had books and Bibles and clothes. Hey, the secret of the Christian life is preparation. Yeah. And you got to do something for your generation now. Now, here's my text, verse 5. But watch thou in all things. Do affliction, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, he won't be bought off.
Yeah, amen.
The progressives won't reach him.
Yeah, that's right.
They won't reach him. Shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now look at verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me. How? He tells you why some of us are going to get in trouble. Having loved this present world. Your toys and your trinkets.
Amen.
And they're all going to burn. They're going to burn. Having loved this present world, and departed unto Thessalonica, Christians unto Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Father, thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Help me be a blessing to your people, Lord. And God, help me to be faithful to you. In Christ's name I pray, amen. I'm going to give you a little analogy, and I'll preach to you, and I'll sit down. There are two Sauls in the Bible. The first Saul was King Saul. He was about 7 foot tall. And I just happened to be about 6'9", about 6'8". My cousin's about 6'11". He played for the Pistons for 4 years, George Patterson. And I witnessed it. My brother witnessed him many years ago. I never knew what happened to him, but he passed away in 04. But there was a guy named Saul of Tarsus, King Saul. And King Saul, the Bible said, and he started out little in his own, listen to me, he started out little in his own eyes. He was a nobody. And then, you know how he got his job? He went chasing mules. He was lawyer to go do something that's not a fun job. Then, but he was humble. He started out humble. Then he got proud. Then he got arrogant with his life. Pride has killed more people than dope. You know how every war started? Over pride. Pride. Pride will take you for a ride. You know why you got problems in the home tonight? Pride. You know why you got problems at work tonight? Pride. You got problems in this church? It's because of pride. Because somebody won't turn.
Yep.
Amen, Brother Jack. Good preaching. And but then you got King Saul. He was a blue blood. Man, he had a great start. Man, he had it all going for him. But he got chasing a witch one time, and God got a hold of him, and I said, I can't put up with that. And he died, and King Saul died of on Mount Gilboa, suicide. Then you got another Saul in the New Testament. Man, he had a bad start. He had a bad start. And he was a bounty hunter, and he killed Christians. And the Bible said, the Book of Acts, the Lord said, I pricked your heart. You kick against the pricks. Why? He's always been getting witnessed to. God sent him witness to him. Then one day, the Lord in Acts chapter 9, the Lord showed up to him. He called his old Hebrew, his old Greek name, Hebrew name, Saul, Saul. Why persecutest thou me? You know what the word Saul means? Forceful one, arrogant one. And then God called him Paul, little one. God humbled him.
Yep.
What has God got to do to get you to do right?
Amen.
Yeah. Well, that's the closing message. I'm going to put some icing on the cake. But I'm trying to encourage you tonight to finish your job.
Yeah.
You see, that first Saul, he had a good start, but he had a bad finish.
Yeah.
He had a bad finish. That second little Saul, that little feisty sucker who wrote 14 books of the Bible, yeah, man. He had a bad start, whoo, but did he ever get a good finish?
Amen.
Hey, Hey, you know what I want to get at 65 years old? I want to get me a good finish. Man, I want to get some more young men and more young women and get them for God and hook them up with this church and hook them up with this church. Hey, on the streets when I got saved, I was a connector for sin. But when I got in the ministry, I'm a connector for God. I know I got 1,000 phone numbers in my phone. What? Contact. Lawyers, doctors, judges, my people, whatever. I got a call the other day. I won't tell you who it was, but he was a former, worked for Mr. Gotti many years ago. I helped his granddaughter out. I said, how did you get my number? She said, so-and-so said, if I call you, you would help me. I said, is your uncle still alive? No, I don't want him to come looking after me. I tried to help her, put her in a home, and a PBI guy helped her, got her off the street, got her off the prostitution and everything else. Hey, man, you got it. And I don't even know the girl. Never met the girl. There's a lot of people I help, but don't even know. I'm not in it for that. You know what I want to do? I want to finish right. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 51. David had a rough time with this. I'm trying to encourage some of you tonight. You're going to fall down. You're going to make mistakes. But you don't have to stay down. Amen. Psalm 51. Look at David, what he had to say about it. David was a man after God's own heart. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Look at verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God. Hey, you want to get something from butter God up a little bit. Tell you, but God, you're awesome.
Amen.
I knew how to get things from my mom when she was mad at me. Come on, people. Y'all look at me like a four-headed freak up here. I see the halos written on your stinking head out there, you evil people. Look at there. Now, you talk about dad. I say, hey, dad. I was just, get over here, boy. Jack Gordon, get over. Ooh, when they brought out the middle name, man, ooh, it's going to get on. My brother used to put a plate back there when he got spanking. I never knew what that meant. You better put a plate. You're going to get in trouble. And I saw that plate one time. It looked like it came back from Hiroshima. You know, it's just all dented and holes in it. We didn't get beatings, we got whoopings, okay? Amen. My mother was patriotic. She led the stripes and we saw the stars. Amen. Amen. look at verse 4. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Man, would you judge somebody? Put something on it. Lord, would you judge me according to your loving kindness?
Amen.
Your loving kindness. God says, you're making this rough for me, boy. I want to whip you. You're my loving kindness. Oh, God. And Lord, I got, what about your tender mercies? Yeah. Y'all must never had that problem.
Yeah.
Come on. I said, oh, you both save saints out here. God bless you missionaries out here. Amen. Have mercy upon me according to thy loving kindness and according to thy tender mercies. Woo, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly. Get in there. It's deep, 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 deep. That's thoroughly. You know, you just clean your ear out one time? No. It's thoroughly. Hello. Yeah. Come on. Hello. You'll get there. But don't let Brother Jack know me. I'm just telling you about me because I'm just like you. Keep watching. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me and forgive me. I can't see that next word, sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned. See, he's going to get victory. He's admitting what he is. Until you admit to God the problem you have in your life, you're never going to get victory.
Yeah, amen.
I said, you're going, yeah. And there's probably somebody here tonight contemplating suicide. Contemplating, you got a girl picked out, you got your husband, you don't like him, you're going to get somebody, it's everywhere. It's human nature. Lord, I wonder, prone to leave the God I love. But there's books, that's why the Bible calls it a light. It also calls it a mirror. It's showing you what we are. But how we can get fixed. Amen. I got a call one night right about a week before my raid. My own brother hung himself at a men's program. That devastated me. I have to deal with his 4 kids every time I go to Detroit. You know what happens in your Christian life when you don't let stuff go? Your maturity level stops. Hello? And you got to get that untriggered or it ain't going to move again. I got a friend of mine that wrote Bob Militello a letter up in Attica prison. He said up in Attica prison, there's a bunch of 65-year-old kids in prison. They've never grown up. And all of a sudden, God gives us the word of God. And we get saved. Man, I'm glad. I wish I got saved when I was about 12. Oh, no, about 7. But I got saved when I was 18. I got a no-show salvation in my heart at 18 years old. And what happened is God gave me a light. God put me around the guy that teach me the Bible, to open my eyes, to give me light and scripture and understanding of the word of God. And then he got me in a fight with who my real battle was my flesh and the spirit world. If God opened your naked eye tonight in this room, it'd scare you half a day. That's what's floating through this room tonight.
Amen.
And you've been and the blood took care of that.
Yeah.
And you're saved forever. Now God once says, can you give me something back? Can you give me some of your time?
Yeah.
Can I'm allow you to help pay for my work?
Yeah.
Can you just put a tenth in? Or more than that? That's what a Jew did on the law.
Right.
What should a Gentile do on the grace?
Yeah.
Now, I know I'm in the body, but I'm still a Gentile.
Yeah.
I'm not a Jew. I don't claim Gentile or Jewish promises. I'm Pauline. I got in on the grace of God. And so Psalm, but look over, I'm going to give you here. I got to look over here at verse 10. That's what I want. Yeah, I got my Bible all mixed up here. Here it is. Create in me a clean heart. Question, people, question. When you create something, a clean heart, and you renew a right, or when you renew something, don't you have to take something out?
Yeah.
I want to renovate that.
Right.
I got to take something out. I didn't come here to ask you for anything. I just came to talk with you, Lord. You've answered a million prayers or more that I forgot to thank you for. I just came to talk with you, Lord. Sometimes I don't ask him for nothing. Lord, would you? I'm sorry. I just want to tell you I love you.
Yeah.
He said, Jack, I want to bless you, but I got to have something out of your heart. I want something out of your mind. I want it in the chambers of your heart that no one knows it's there but me and you. Woo! I remember one time I got a little cattywampus in my own life, and things took place in my life in 94. I couldn't handle it no more. So one night I was with the sheriff's department. I was a chaplain for the sheriff's department out in Washington State. And I still kept my badge. It gets me out a lot of tickets, but I don't tell them I work for the chair. I just show them the badge. Oh, okay, chopping, slow down. Okay, get out of here. And one officer said, now, whatever happened to that blonde hair you had in that picture right there, though? But one night, I couldn't wait till I get home. I got out of my car, got on the side of the car. I got on my knees. The car was still running. All of a sudden, I just felt the blue lights come on. I can hear them come on. I heard them, had them told me, they're coming on. I said, oh, my goodness, I'm getting busted for praying. And the guy came over there, hey, hold up with her. Come up with your hands up. Come up with your hands up. And I said, oh, my goodness, I'm getting busted for praying. And I get up there at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I get up, hey. He said, oh, hey, Chaplain Patterson, what are you doing over here? I said, I'm getting right with God. He said, okay, all right, God, everything's okay? Yeah, okay, carry on. Okay, he took off. Amen. Hey, you got to take care of God. Hey, you got to talk to God. You talk to him where you're at. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about finishing right.
Amen.
Okay, you didn't have a good start. Okay, you fell down and made some bad choice. Hey, get you a good finish for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Get a good finish for Jesus Christ. Tell all the jerks and all the people, run their mouth. Tell them to go suck a duck egg in Jesus' name. But bless God, get you a good finish for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Finish, 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 finish right.
Amen.
But it's going to have to take a right spirit within you.
Yeah.
That spirit's got to be right.
Yeah.
It's got to be right. Okay. Saul was a murderer. He killed people, but he got right.
Amen.
He got right.
Amen.
Hey, man, go out there. John chapter 8, he told that lady, go and sin no more. Don't do it again.
Yeah.
Don't do it again. What some people have done with their bullet, they do with their tongue.
Right.
Yeah. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about so-and-so? Lester Roloff had a rule on his property. they caught you criticizing anybody, you were fired the first time. The first time. The first time.
Yeah.
Well, I put it to test one day. I said something about somebody, and Brother Wolf told me to get off the property. I was with about 40 people. I mouthed off to my pastor. But I was in the right. And what I said was true. But that was at the wrong place. My pastor looked at me, Jack, can you get a good attitude before sundown? He looked right at me. Dave Gibbs, the governor, all of them are standing right there next to him. His office is wherever he wanted to officiate at. He officiated pretty good. And I said, yes, sir, Brother Olaf, I'm sorry I said that. I'll take care of it right now. He said, okay, but if you can't, you be gone on your way. Turn around and God bless you, son. I love you, but I ain't putting up with that. And turn around and walked away. You know what he did? He slapped the dog out of me. You know what he did? He taught me something about grace. You know what he did? He told me to keep my mouth shut. And you got something to say to somebody, go ahead and get it straightened out with them. And I thank God for that pastor. You know what I've done? I've tried to keep that every time on my property in Alabama, wherever I go. I don't want critics on my property. Hey, my kids had, Nineveh had enough problem. They didn't need a backslidden preacher acting crazy. Yeah. Amen. Hey, and those young folks come in, and I put that music on, and taking in some guys today and talk to some other people today about coming in and so forth. I said, look, man, I'm not a flop house. I'm not a halfway house. I'm going to go all the way. I want to help you finish where you got to go.
Yeah,
and I got to have, but it all starts with the right spirit on the inside. If that spirit ain't right, it ain't going to be right.
Amen.
Hey, wife, hey, husband, if that spirit ain't right, it ain't going to be right. Hey, kids, if your spirit ain't right, it ain't going to be right.
That's right.
God put that that pastor, that church, that mom, that dad, that daughter, and he put in that order. And by the way, you, this church, Brother Ryman will go as far as you allow him.
Yep.
Amen.
You can stop his ministry tonight by rebellion. Getting quiet in here. Hey, wife, you can stop your husband by not following him. Hey, kids, you can stop your parents by not following them.
Yeah.
Paul said, be ye followers. You know what makes good Christians and great churches? You got good followers. Amen. Getting quiet in here. Bible believers are not used to that kind of prayer. I know one. I is one. Amen. I hug around the fundamentalists. You know, no fun, all damn, and no mental. They have no Bible. Right. Amen. That was a punch. But what are you saying? I come here, Brother Ryman, he's my boss.
Yeah.
I work for him.
Amen.
Every time I see him, I said, I get nervous. I still get nervous around him. He looked like a serial killer. Look at that face. He got a face only a mother could love. Amen. I don't know what he's doing back there. I don't like it. But you know what? When I get here, I say to him, what are my orders? Ask him. What are my orders? I don't care what the other guys ask. That's what I ask. Yeah. What do you want me to do for you? What can I do for you? Be a blessing to my people. Blood my people. Blood my people. Hold lips out there. Blood my people. Blood my people. He didn't say hurt them. Trying to just say help them. I'm talking to you tonight about finishing right. Finishing right. Finishing right. Saul Tarsus had a good start. He had it all going for him, but he had a bad finish.
Yeah.
Saul of Tarsus had a bad start, but he got him a good finish. You know, if I was some of you people tonight, you peoples, my foreman couldn't say people, always called you, hey peoples, get over here. I would get with my mom and dad and say, Dad, Mom, what would it take for me to be the apple of your eye? And then shut up. And whatever they tell you, you take it. Dad, how can I be a better son? That's going to put the pressure on him. Mom, how can I be a better daughter for you? They're probably going to give you a list. Start cleaning your bedroom. I still can't make a bed. You know how you put the blanket under the pillow? My pillows look like a ski slope coming off the mountain there. I'll make it up, my wife. My wife, she'll take it apart. I said, I spent, I'm fishing. I can't stand it. I got to have it done right. Hey, she's such a melancholy. She'll make the bed when she goes to the bathroom in the middle of the night. I said, what are you doing? I'm making the bed. But you're going to the bathroom. I know, but I got to have the bed made. I said, forgive me, my child. Hey, husbands, I'm talking to you tonight. I'm about done. Wheels are down. I'm circling the field. Won't you ask your wife, how can I be a better husband for you? Oh, it's quiet in here tonight. You ever compliment your wife? You ever tell you love her in front of the kids? You ever show her that you love her in front of the kids? Don't blow up my car now, okay? How about some of you ladies? Hey, honey, how can I be a better wife for you? But honey, you're gonna be a dad. Don't get your hopes up. She asked that question. You got to produce too. You know how you're gonna produce? By loving her kids.
Yeah.
By loving her kids. You treat your kids wrong, but yet you want her to be all kissy face with you. That ain't gonna happen. Amen. You get pucker power. That's all you get. One day, grandkids come in the living room, and I was kissing on Karen, and grandkids said, "Paw, paw, what are you doing kissing on Nana?" I said, "I'm getting some kissy face," and he went and told Evan, "Papa kissing Nana in the living room. I'm going to come and see this. Here come all the grandkids out there. What do they want to see it all?" That sure beats fighting.
Yeah.
That sure beats, they've never heard me cuss her out.
Yeah.
I cuss her at home, but I don't cuss in front of them. No, I'm kidding. Boy, I'm on the couch tonight, amen. Hey, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, hey, why don't you finish your race? Amen. Why don't you take your kids with you?
Yeah.
Won't you take your grandkids with you?
Amen.
Won't you show them you got some Christianity in your heart?
Yeah.
When's the last time you walked up to your pastor? Pastor, how can I be a better church member here?
Yeah. Amen.
Now, I know some law dog preachers, they'll take everything from you. He's not a law dog. I mean, he belongs on Rawhide. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Keep those doggies rolling. Rawhide. That's not in the Bible. But you got a pastor who's got a big heart. Probably bigger than this room.
Yep.
He'll give you the shirt off his back. Give it the last dollar in his pocket. That's Alan Ryman.
Yep.
Then you got the queen bee over here. She don't miss nothing. She sees you coming 5 miles off with them eagle eyes over there. You know, that's Ms. Ryman. I like her. She's a blessing. Oh, amen. Oh, I'm going to get some nasty coffee tonight. I can feel it coming right now. You talk about me in church, you know. No, I'm trying to encourage you tonight. Okay. The last message here. When I started working with Brother Olaf, I asked him, I said, "Brother Olaf, what do you want me to do down here for you?" He said, "Well, boy," he said, "I want you to fish. I want 1,000 pounds a night of fish." I just looked at him. I heard we're catching 300 and he wanted 1,000. Well, he was a motivator. He upped it up a little bit. And one night he called me around November. I said, "Brother," he said, "I want 500 pounds tomorrow, Jack, fish. I got a governor coming in. I want him to get fresh fish." I said, "Brother Olaf," I said, "I don't know if I can get it, 500 pounds. He said, "Am I talking to Jack Patterson? Am I talking to the Jack Patterson from Detroit?" I said, "You're talking to the Jack Patterson from Detroit. Well, I better get me 500 pounds. Whoa. Wait a minute. Negotiation. Come on. Hey, preacher, come back over here." And he knew I was going to ask him for something. "My name is Jimmy. I take all you give me." I said, "I get you 500 pounds of fish. Would you get me 25 gallons of Baskin Robbins?" He said, "Boy, you get me 500 pounds of fish. I'll get you 25 gallons of Baskin Robbins." And he never said goodbye. He just went click, hung up the phone. Next morning, 6:45, the broadcast comes on at 7 o'clock. He called me. "Jack, what'd you get for me, son? Come on. Come on now. Come on. Talk to me." That's why he talked. I said, "Brother Wolf, I didn't get you 500 pounds. "Oh, come on, boy." And he started killing me. I said, hey, whoa, calm down, German. And he's a German. Two Germans got me in trouble, Ruckman and Roloff. And and I said, "Brother Roloff," I said, "hey," I said, "I didn't get you 500 pounds. I got you 700 pounds. Man, he thought I was the king of the world. Oh, I'll get that. And he brought me that 25 gallons of ice cream, too. Then he brings two. He was a health nut. He ate health food. Health food is nasty.
Yep.
Come on, Karen, say amen right there. Man, she got stuff in that refrigerator. I ain't touching it, brother. No, the wrath of God's on that stuff. And I said, man, I got to hide. I know how to hide stuff around the house. Oh, Jack, you're doing pretty good. Yeah, don't go in that cabinet. No. You got to go in there, you know. And Broloff came down. He brought these two pots of pan. He put the egg in there. He put the whole egg in there. The whole egg. You know, shell and everything. Chicken, carrots, cucumber. I mean, put everything in it. He put vegetables in the soup. I mean, cucumber. I mean, everything in there. And we got 75 guys in line to eat dinner. He brings two little pots. I said, Brother Wolf, and I mean, we're going to tell you, Pastor, hey, man, you dropped the ball on me, isn't it? I said, you got to use wisdom. Use your head, a woodpecker does. I said, Brother Olaf, I said, we have a problem. So, boy, what's the problem? Well, I got 75 guys here, and they're on drugs, and they like to eat. And we don't have enough amongst us unless you're going to do a John 6 miracle. He said, no. I said, well, let them eat some of it. I didn't lie to him. He didn't ask. But remember, I always keep a gourmet chef around me. He's in the kitchen winking at me like, are we ready? No. Wait till he flies out of here. Brother Wolf walked out of there, and my guys yelled out, party time! Come on, guys! We got the ice cream in the freezer. We had lasagna tray by tray by tray, already made and ready to eat, amen, in Jesus' name, amen. Those were some fun days back then. But you know what that preacher taught me? Finish. 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 You know what Dr. Ruckman taught me? Finish. Anybody can start, hey, Brother Ryman, I want to do this, and I want to do this. Will you finish it? Amen. Will you be on time?
Amen. There you go.
Will you be on time? Hey, preacher, I'll be there. He gets here looking for you. Where they at? Boom, 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 boo. Am I all right?
Yeah.
Are we all right? Does it sound, are we all right?
Yeah.
Remember first time I saw a gang member, are we all right? I thought he was epileptic or something, doing, That's a joke, man. It's funny. My sister's that way. She's got cerebral palsy, and she moves her hand funny, and I'll make fun of him. Quit making fun of me. She'll rip my face off. Say, you're too fat. You need to lose weight. And, oh, my goodness. Yeah, I am. I'm trying to. I took her to a restaurant a couple years ago, and she was eating. And she eats funny because her body is real spasmodic. And she's eating with a big old spoon. Some guy kept looking at her. And I saw her looking at him, and she looked over at me, looked over him, and she yelled out, what you looking at, stupid? Yeah, come on now. That's a handicap telling somebody else stupid, okay? Hey, I want to finish right. I want to finish right. Look at verse 4 again, back over, and then I'm done. Look at 2 Timothy 4. What would you, the rapture came back tonight, what are you going to leave back here behind you? 2 Timothy 4. No, I don't know what's wrong with my heart. I got to get it tested out again this week. It's not releasing what it's supposed to be doing. And that's one reason why I sat down, because I'm out of breath. And I lost the weight because I got more to take off. And I'm doing it just like everybody else. I was stupid for getting 440. I was stupid. I'm trying to get unstupid and eat right. I told a crack guy to lay down the crack pipe. You know what he told me? He said, you lay that fork down, I'll lay down this crack pipe. That's a good deal. That's okay, sucker. I laid it down. And he laid his down, too.
Amen.
Amen. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Three F's. Then he goes over there and he said, fight, flee. Follow, fight. You know why some people can never fight? Because they never flee. Listen to me and I'm done. He says, flee, 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 flee. Get away from them. Flee from them. Flee from sinners. Flee fornication. Get away from them. Then he says, follow. Look at the process. Flee, get away, follow, the right direction. Now fight. Long as we keep ourselves entangled with the world of this old life, and our hearts are in our minds, we'll never finish the fight that we're supposed to have for God. I asked Brother Olof one time, I said, Brother Olof, what's success in the ministry? I said, how do you spell it? I said, how do you spell success in the ministry? You know what he told me? I said, what do you fear? He said, I fear the disfavor of God. I want God to be favorable with what I do. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Bible. Lord, I wish I could have preached this better tonight. But I think they got what I was trying to say tonight.